On behalf of Bishop Kelly, Bishop Carroll, Bishop Sante, the priests and seminarians and brothers and mother and their sisters, I'd like to wish you very happy and holy Easter. The epistle to be read today for the Feast of Easter is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new paste, as you are unleavened. For Christ our Pasch is sacrificed. Therefore let us feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In the Holy Gospel, as taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16. At that time, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought sweet spices, that coming they might anoint Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they come to the sepulchre, the sun being now risen. And they said one to another, "Who shall roll us back the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And looking, they saw the stone rolled back, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a white robe. And they were affrighted. Who saith to them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, as he told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. He is risen, he is not here. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Antiochus was the king at the time of the Maccabees, around 160 BC. He put the seven Maccabee brothers to death, and their courageous mother, who had fortified them all, in the midst of their torments inflicted by this impious king. You see, the Maccabees would not deny their faith, and so the pagan king Antiochus had them tortured one by one. And in this way, he hoped that the others, on seeing and witnessing the pain of their brothers, would give up their faith. But they all held out and told the king that nothing could turn them from their resolve. For the suffering of this life, they said, could not compare with the happiness of the next. One of them said, "You indeed, O most wicked man, destroy from this present life, but the King of the world will raise us up in the resurrection of eternal life." And another of the brothers boldly stated with confidence, as the executioner was going to cut off his hands, "These hands I have from heaven," he said, "but I will freely give them up to you, because I hope to receive them again from the God in the resurrection." Now, my dear faithful, in today's Gospel, St. Mark tells us how the holy women came to anoint Christ's body after he had been buried for 3 days. These women were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Salome, who was the mother of St. James the Greater and St. John. The great scripture scholar Cornelius Elapides says of them, "They did not realize the dignity of Christ's divinity, nor his resurrection. But they loved him tenderly, both as a man and a prophet, although now dead." And so they went to the tomb bearing sweet spices, so that they might properly anoint the body of Jesus. Christ had died on Friday afternoon, and there was not sufficient time to prepare his body for burial. And this they sought to remedy on Easter Sunday morning. When they finally arrived at the tomb, they saw that the stone was already rolled back. And going in, they saw a man sitting on the right side. He was clothed in white, and they were astonished. He said to them, "Do not be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." Now our Lord fulfilled every prophecy of the Old Testament, showing him to truly be the Messiah and the Savior. He worked numerous undeniable miracles that even the Jewish leaders who hated our Lord could not refute. All these, however, are subordinate to the one grand triumphal fact, which is the cornerstone of all Christianity, and upon which all the rest of the structure depends, that is, the resurrection of Christ from the dead. For after 3 days, our Lord rose from the dead. He rose from the dead by his own power. And thus did he prove that everything he said was true. Indeed, if he is not truly risen from the dead, we would all be fools. As St. Paul says, "And if Christ be not risen again, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." And whoever admits the resurrection must also hold to Christ's divinity. If one believes in the resurrection, they must believe our Lord's divine right to be the guide and teacher of all men. For he is truly risen. In reality, my dear faithful, if there is one fact in history which has more credit than any other, it is the fact of the glorious resurrection of Jesus from the tomb. Just look at the facts. For over 2,000 years, millions of people have believed it, because it has been handed down from generation to generation from eyewitness accounts. If it was false, naturally, over time, it would have been discredited. It would have fallen from disbelief. But there is no evidence that disbelievers have to discredit the resurrection. Rather, the resurrection is attested by the positive and unquestionable testimony of persons of the highest integrity, who were themselves eyewitnesses of the fact. They saw Jesus dead on Good Friday, and who afterwards beheld him alive, who beheld him not once or twice, but frequently for a considerable time. They even conversed with him, touched him, ate and drank with him. And they then proved their honesty and sincerity by the best of arguments. They shed their blood for the belief in the resurrection. And so, had Christ not risen from the dead, there would be no Christianity. If Christianity was based on this vain belief and preaching, it most surely would have failed long ago. But it has stood the test of time. Over all the centuries, the hope in the resurrection would have died out. Had the Catholic faith been founded on this vain preaching and false belief, it would have been annihilated in the 10 great persecutions of the Church, which she underwent in the first 3 centuries in her existence. She alone survived the powerful Roman Empire, which tried to wipe out the newly found religion. The Church would not have lasted through the avalanche of paganism that broke through the great Roman Empire. Thus, history and time shows the truth and fact of Christ's glorious resurrection. Today, then, is the day of Christ's triumph, the day the Church rejoices. She is founded on the truth of the resurrection. When the holy woman arrived at the tomb, an angel clothed in white stood before them and cried out, "He is risen, he is not here." And this has been the church's triumphant answer throughout the centuries. He is risen. He is not here. The resurrection is the foundation of Christianity. And it is also the confusion to the unbelievers who deny Christ, since it cannot be reasonably denied. He is risen. And this is also the promise and hope of our own resurrection upon the last day. And it was this belief that has strengthened Catholics throughout the ages and through all the bloody persecutions and trials and combats. It is what gives us the strength and perseverance in our daily crosses and trials. It is the thought of their future resurrection that helped the martyrs undergo the most cruel tortures and even suffer the torments cheerfully and with gladness. They would remember that if they suffered as Christ did, for it was truly Christ's suffering and passion, which we celebrated this week, that led to his glorious resurrection. The martyrs knew if they suffered, they would share also in his glorious resurrection. As Christ has risen from the dead, we too shall also rise from the dead. As St. Alphonsus says, we should rejoice for ourselves, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is for us a sure pledge of our own resurrection and of the glory that we hope one day to have in heaven, both in soul and body. Like the Maccabees in the story, they offered their hands to be cut off and joyfully underwent the torments of their body and death itself, because they knew they would receive a more glorious body on the day of their resurrection. And so it should be for us when we face difficulties or trials. Remember, we are not made for this earth, but we are made for heaven. This life is short, and any trial or cross we face is nothing compared to the joy we will one day share with Christ. For our Lord has promised that the bodies of the just shall rise again on the last day in great splendor and will be clothed with the brightness of heaven. So, my dear faithful, take courage and cheerfully bear the crosses of daily life. Remember that Christ's resurrection is a pledge of the glory awaiting us in heaven. And so what joy should fill our hearts today and every day? We have really nothing to keep us sad or discouraged. Yes, we have trials and crosses, but if we keep our eye on the goal, which is heaven, we can still have joy in our hearts, even in the midst of these crosses and trials. And so we ought to rejoice today and always. And let us then rejoice with the church as we sing with her today the triumph of our founder, and we chant with the church the glory of the Son of God, the joy of Jesus Christ, the victor, the conqueror. And all these are summed up in that cry which the liturgy repeats again and again. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. God bless you, and may you have a blessed and happy Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.